I would say it's like a door into the past. You know, you're traveling into this kind of underworld, which is packed with these human stories that you can hear about or read about to be able to actually see, touch, smell, and just experience what people experienced during the war and after the war is something so special. You know, you can read about sheltering on the platforms, but you're never going to experience that. Whereas here you can actually be and listen to the underground rolling above your head, and you can smell the air coming in, and you can feel the chill, and you can climb up the stairs and all of that. And that's just really rare.
This is the London Undone podcast. We're going deep underground to the purpose-built shelter below Clapham South Tube Station. Here, Siddy Holloway and Chris Nix from the London Transport Museum explain why the shelter was built.
This is just up the road at Balham Hill, and that was where a bomb of over £1,000 hit the road, went through the road, hit the sewer, hit the water main, hit the top of the tube, and the liquid slurry poured into the tube and killed 68 people who were sheltering at the station, injured many more. And as a result of it, civilians in London very quickly became aware of what modern aerial warfare meant. And they started protesting. What civilians were demanding is protection against high explosive incendiaries, gas bombs, and they're looking for 60 feet below ground. Well, actually, by the time Churchill and his war cabinet take the decision to build these, we're 120 feet below ground where you are here, and the lower level's even lower than that. So they really did deliver on it. It was built by London Transport at the request of the government, and it was one of eight shelters that were finally built for this purpose across North and South London. What's particularly impressive about it, though, is that the government decided to build these on the 20th of November 1940, so in a really intense bombing period of the Blitz. And by January of 1941, really about 6 weeks later, they were being built. It took until 1942 in the summer to finish most of them, by which time, of course, the Blitz was over. This is all hand dug. It is hand dug by men on rations in reserved occupations whilst bombs are landing around them, whilst materials to build the normal protective shields are in short supply. So they do it initially without the protective shields. 11 men died across the eight sites that were being worked.
London under the flying bomb. Battle of Britain conditions returned in the form of robot warfare on the capital. It's a civilian battle again. Citizens are both the target and the defenders. London's wartime calendar of experience may be set back 4 years, but the people adjust themselves to the frontline peril and carry on.
So, in the north, they were built at Belsize Park, Camden Town, Goode Street, Chancery Lane, and they started one at St Paul's. They abandoned it because it was a bit too close to the cathedral and they were worried it would unsettle the foundations. In the south, they did build one at Stockwell, and then summary, Clapham got three. Clapham North, Clapham Common, Clapham South. Why did they build them there? Well, they're all suspiciously next to the tube lines, aren't they? And it's actually because of a pre-war plan to expand the tube network to deal with an increased population called the New Works Programme. So the London Underground had already surveyed a lot of this land and knew they could build there. So when the government came on and said, can you build these for us? It was a place that they could say yes. And so they built them along the planned lines for the Express Northern Line and Express Central Line. Loose plan, could have joined them up after the war if we won.
But the shelters finally opened in 1944 when the B1 doodlebug started raining on London, and this particular shelter opened on the 19th of July 1944. But in order to explain what life was like down here during the war, I'm going to take you downstairs.
Eight new deep shelters are now open for the accommodation of Londoners. Over 100 feet underground, they're the last word in design. Double staircases and emergency lifts bring you into well-appointed quarters. Each has accommodation for 8,000 people who will sleep in tiered bunks.
What we've done here, everyone, is that we've just basically dressed about 40 bunks or so to give people an idea of what the conditions would have been like for those sheltering down here during the war. Each family would be allocated a kind of bay of bunks, and so you had a little kind of area to yourself. You could only be in here from 7 p.m. at night until 7 a.m. each morning. You had to bring all of your belongings and all of your bedding down every night. And you had to take it out every morning, unless you were homeless. So priority was given to people who had been bombed out, but those who were simply seeking shelter overnight would have to bring everything with them and out again each morning. So imagine those 180 steps, but carrying a mattress and a pillow and maybe a two-year-old toddler.
Precautions against the spreading of infection are thorough. Families are provided with cubicles in these shelters. Staffs of hospital nurses, doctors and ambulance crews have been appointed. The medical aid post is another feature of this ARP enterprise.
This medical bay would have been staffed by a doctor, a head nurse, or a sister as she was called, and four nurses. And this was also a way of the governments to encourage people to seek shelter, because up on the surface, if you went to the doctor, you had to pay for it. Down here, it was free. And this is well before the founding of the National Health Service, so which was founded in 1948. So it's a way of getting people in, getting them treated and seen, and was seen as a bit of a luxury at the time.
Indirect lighting, air conditioning, dormitories for babies and comfortable canteens are all available to the people who shelter in these luxury tunnels below London.
There were eight canteens built in the site so that people could get food which was off ration. All bunkers and shelters have their food off ration, again, to keep people well fed and in a better, happier mood.
As you can see, the cubicles have been stripped, but in those cubicles, what you would have had is an Elsan chemical toilet. Essentially a bucket with a seat and a bit of disinfectant in it, and when the bucket was full, you would walk right back to the very back of the tunnel where there was a slop hopper, as it was called. It's basically a big funnel. And then you would pour the content into the hopper, and there's a large tank below our feet, which takes about 5 days' worth of waste. And then when that's full, you close that valve there very tightly, and with compressed air, you shoot the content of the tank up to sewer level.
Now, morale was a really important thing in any shelter or bunker in the Second World War. Over here, a gramophone. And there was a public address system fitted throughout the site. And we know from primary account that they would play the music over the PA system so that people could dance and take their mind off what they might have left behind upstairs or be worried about. You know, whether their house was going to survive through the night or whether their loved ones were okay.
They had a youth club with all the kids running around. So really, you can imagine when this opened in 1944, when people had suffered nearly 5 years of war, this would have been a breath of fresh air for a lot of people, because down here you were safe.
After the war, it was logical to keep this site open as an inexpensive hostel, because of course people's houses didn't miraculously rebuild themselves, and people still had nowhere to sleep. So people who'd been rendered homeless were allowed to carry on living down here, and people who wanted to visit London looking for somewhere inexpensive to stay were using the place. So it is therefore small wonder that when Empire Windrush arrived and 236 of the 500 men had nowhere to stay, there was a very obvious place in London that could instantly accommodate them. The eight shelters all had quite different fortunes after the war. Most of them were derelict for a little while. They then started being used to store government documents, and then they gradually turned into commercial archives, which is what this one did until 2008. That is the point at which it came on its path to be handed to us. And we are now seeking to turn it into a cultural site. However, its nearest neighbour gets one of the coolest uses. Clapham Common is a farm growing microherbs, which are, I believe, shortly to be available in Marks and Spencers and Waitrose, if they're not already there.
So we have 7 different sites on the Hidden London programme, which are here at Clapham South. We also have Highgate, which is up in the north of London. We have Down Street, which is between Hyde Park Corner and Green Park. Particularly interesting as Winston Churchill stayed there during the Blitz. We have Charing Cross, which is where Skyfall and a lot of films were filmed. Aldwych, which is one of the best kind of preserved Edwardian stations in London. And then we have the headquarters of Transport for London, which is an iconic Art Deco building, 55 Broadway. So those are our 7 sites at the moment. Hopefully next year we'll have the 8th launching.
Which will be?
Secret.
Oh, watch
the space. Watch the space. We can't reveal just yet. Sign up for the newsletter. We might start dropping hints in there soon. It's such a fascinating topic to so many people. You know, we go through this, the oldest underground network in the world every day, and we don't think about what lies beyond it, who built it, what's behind that door or that door, and to be able to actually take people into those spaces to unlock that do not trespass bit is so special.